No debate, no bias, just the news. Ross Tags with Zucca Jacob.
So, NRC politics in full display in the national capital, in the NCR. What you heard just now was the sound of Delhi BJP workers protesting outside Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal's residence. Hello and welcome to this Brass Tacks podcast. My name is Zucca Jacob, weeknights at 9:25 on CNN News 18. So, what's the big hoo-ha about this whole NRC debate that's been going on? First it was in Assam, then suddenly it spread to Bengal. Now it's come right to the national capital. So the Delhi BJP wants the NRC exercise to happen in Delhi as well. Ostensibly they want to weed out all the illegal immigrants out of Delhi. And ironically, and this is where the story gets kind of funny, ironically, it started off with this comment from Delhi BJP chief Manoj Tiwari.
बहुत ऐसे लोग हैं जो इलीगल घुस बैठे हैं और उनकी शिनाख्त हो रही है, वो लोग अपराध में लिप्त पाए जा रहे हैं।
ये स्थिति खतरे के ऐसे ऊपर बढ़ रही है कि एनआरसी का होना दिल्ली में बहुत आवश्यक है।
Now, why that's ironic and a little funny is because Tiwari himself is actually an outsider. He's from Bihar. In fact, he was a famous Bhojpuri star even before he entered politics, even before he came to Delhi. He only came to Delhi just before the 2014 election and contested from East Delhi and won. And the reason why he contested from East Delhi is because East Delhi, as you would guess, has a high concentration of Purvanchalis, the place from where Manoj Tiwari hails. So, a day after he made this comment, which was quite bizarre in and of itself, reporters then, the next day, went to Arvind Kejriwal and asked him about this. Should there be an NRC exercise in the national capital? And Arvind Kejriwal quickly retorted by saying that yes, if an NRC were to happen in the capital, then the first person to be kicked out would be Manoj Tiwari because he's not from Delhi. He's actually a Purvanchali. This is what Kejriwal said. But the BJP has very cleverly added a political spin to what Kejriwal said, and they today protested outside the Delhi Chief Minister's residence, saying that what he said was an insult to Purvanchalis. This was his way of attacking Purvanchalis, people who basically hail from either eastern Uttar Pradesh or Bihar. And there was this massive tamasha, massive protest outside the Delhi Chief Minister's residence, where they basically broke barricades and ran, or at least tried to run into Kejriwal's house. Eventually, of course, the Delhi police, with whom, by the way, Arvind Kejriwal has been daggers drawn for a number of years now, it's those same Delhi police folks who had to stop these protesting and rampaging Delhi BJP workers. But let's leave aside, you know, the sound and fury and get down to brass tacks. Does an NRC exercise make sense in Delhi? Does Kejriwal have a point? Well, the fact is, the entire city of Delhi, and this is something that's so fascinating and special about the city, is actually made by immigrants. Delhi is a city of immigrants. There is no original Dilliwala or Dilliwali. In fact, if you were to trace back in history, the actual original inhabitants of Delhi, as the Delhi Sultanate was found, would be very few people inside what is today the walled city area, or what's called Old Delhi. But actually, the rest of Delhi is all built by outsiders. It's actually a city, a classic city of immigrants. I mean, it's not just the politicians. Manoj Tiwari is a Purvanchali. Arvind Kejriwal is from Haryana. The former chief minister, the very popular chief minister, Sheila Dixit, was actually a Punjabi, married to a UPI. Everybody in Delhi is actually an outsider. This is a city of immigrants. And it's best illustrated, if you go to parts of, you know, West Delhi, for example, the entire colonies there in West Delhi, which is Rajouri Garden, Rajinder Nagar, anything west of Rajinder Nagar and Patel Nagar, the entire sort of localities, entire colonies were built by refugees who fled from Pakistan because of the partition. Nothing existed in West Delhi before the partition. It was just barren land. And it was these folks, hardworking folks, who, you know, in the most tragic of circumstances, were chased away from Pakistan, came to Delhi and had to settle in this part of Delhi, which was the only vacant land available at that time. Refugee colonies came up there, and within a generation or two, they became rich, they became traders, and they became business folks, and they became you know, whatever they wanted to be, but eventually in a generation or two, they were able to come back to a level of well-being after having lost everything just a generation or two before that during the tragic, tragic years of partition. So what has essentially happened to Delhi is that more so in the last 20 years, but certainly post-independence, Delhi has become this amalgamation of cultures. So you have Punjabis and Bengalis and Tamils and Kannadigas and Purvanchalis and Haryanvis. And that's what makes Delhi such a melting pot. That's what makes Delhi such a wonderful city. Something that we should all be proud of. And by the way, not all capitals are like this. You go to Washington, you kind of get the similar kind of crowd. You go to Beijing, it's all sort of a similar kind of crowd. Yes, London is a melting pot. Moscow, not quite. But Delhi is. And that's why Delhi is, you know, one of the frontline cities out there, which should actually be a great advertisement for what India stands for. Now, talking about Washington, boy, are things getting slightly heated up there. There was a bit of a reality check, both for the Democrats as well as for President Trump. They've now formally started impeachment proceedings. The impeachment vote will have to take place in the House. In the middle of all of this, very curiously, Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart, Vladimir Zelensky, who are the two main characters in this entire plot drama, they happen to be in New York City, quite coincidentally, because both of them were there for the UNGA, and they met for the first time since Mr. Zelensky got elected to office. This is the first time they've met, and they couldn't have asked for a worse time or worse conditions or a worse cloud to have met under because of this entire controversy surrounding that phone call that Trump had with the Ukrainian president back in July. But both Trump and the Ukrainian president kind of made it sound like it wasn't such a big deal.
Nobody pushed me.
In other words, no pressure.
And Trump, with all his theatrics and drama, in fact, went on to attack the Democrats and say that this, according to him, was a bit of a witch hunt.
It's the single greatest witch hunt in American history.
It's all a hoax, folks. It's all a big hoax.
Now, he is basing this on the transcripts that were released. Many media organizations, CNN, The New York Times, Washington Post, they've all put out the full transcript of that particular phone call. And it does, at least in a couple of places, Trump does seem to be very interested in what's going on with this whole Biden story. He says exactly as much to the Ukrainian president. But Trump is basing his attack on the Democrats on the fact that in that transcript, nowhere is he explicitly suggesting a quid pro quo. He's not explicitly telling the Ukrainian president that, look, you got to do this for me, because if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. Nowhere is he explicitly saying that if you don't do this for me, then I will withhold the millions of dollars of military aid that my country gives your country. But he is very much, very much interested in the Biden situation, the whole question of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Did Hunter Biden misuse his father's office when his father happened to be the vice president? He's very clearly interested in that and interested in knowing from the Ukrainian president what the actual situation is, what the actual story is. And also, he goes on to tell the Ukrainian president that he should be in touch with the U.S. Attorney General William Barr, as well as Mr. Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who happens to be the former mayor of New York City. Some of our viewers will remember him as the mayor when 9/11 happened, and he did a pretty remarkable job as mayor of New York at that time. But now he's Trump's lawyer, and so Trump is clearly telling the Ukrainian president that he should be in touch with America's top legal officer and the president's personal lawyer to take forward this whole Biden story. So the Democrats, as you would expect, are seeing red. They are saying this is a classic case of the president misusing his office to dig out dirt on a domestic political opponent.
What those notes reflect is a classic mafia-like shakedown of a foreign leader.
Now, you would imagine, for any normal person who is basically fighting for his life, fighting with his back against the wall, fighting impeachment. I mean, heck, how many times in U.S. history has that happened? They've had, what, 40-odd presidents now? And it's been a handful of times when a president has actually had to face impeachment proceedings, and Trump happens to be one of them. Here's the interesting thing. In the middle of all of this, in the middle of this world war that Trump is faced with, only he could have come up once again, for the fourth time, mind you, in the last month or so, once again offered to mediate between India and Pakistan on Kashmir. And he has pretty interesting words of advice for both Prime Ministers Modi and Khan, good friends of his, according to him. Listen into what Donald Trump had to say.
With respect to Pakistan and India, we talked about Kashmir. And whatever help I can be, I said, I offered, whether it's arbitration or mediation or whatever it has to be, I'll do whatever I can because they're at very serious odds right now, and hopefully that'll get better. You look at the two gentlemen heading those two countries, two good friends of mine. I said, fellas, work it out. Just work it out. Those are two nuclear countries. They've got to work it out.
That's it, fellas. Just work it out. Just work it out, fellas. Just listen to Donald, because Donald knows best. Work it out. It's going to be as simple as that. And that's what we're going to do on Brass Tacks. We're going to keep it simple. We're going to take away the debates, take away the bias, take away the noise, and just keep it simple. Get down to Brass Tacks. Weeknights at 9:25 with me, Zaka Jacob. Thanks for tuning in to the Brass Tacks podcast.
No debate, no bias, just the news. Brass Tacks with Zaka Jacob.